Your Bibles are open to John 7. We'll be reading some from there in just a little while as we progress in our lesson. Certainly do appreciate the presence of all. As has been stated, we have a number of visitors with us from different places, and we're delighted that you are here with us. Please take the time, if this is your first time to be with us, as has already been stated, to fill out a visitor's card so we can know who you are. If you don't mind putting an address, we'll be able to contact you. And if you have a phone number you don't mind leaving, we'd love to have that as well. Our purpose, as has been prayed this morning, is to worship God. We've done so thus far, and we are going to continue to as we open His Word and we teach from the Word of God, and our desire is to motivate us to be obedient to what the will of God is, to understand it. We have the responsibility of studying and then following what God's Word teaches us. And then our efforts ought to be to teach others. If we have the truth, and I believe we do, if it's the truth that sets us free and the Bible teaches that is the case, then we should desire, we should be motivated, we should want to share that with others so that they too can have the truth and be set free from sin. Over the past several Sundays, we've been looking at some of the problems that existed among the Pharisees. We looked at the problem of legalism, where they thought that if they kept a code of conduct, relying absolutely not at all on the grace of God, that they could be saved. Secondly, we looked at traditionalism. Not only did they expect others to follow the law of Christ, they would say, but also to follow the traditions of the elders in order to be saved. And then last week, we looked at hypocrisy, how they were concerned about the outside being clean and looking good, but they were wicked and evil and corrupt on the inside. This morning I want us to study the subject of prejudice. And I believe when we think about prejudice, we're looking at one of the greatest problems that keeps someone from following the truth. And as we've already said, it's the truth that sets us free. When we allow prejudice to take over our heart and to take over our life, we're robbing ourselves of truth. And prejudice is something that I believe every one of us has to fight with and deal with in our lives. And maybe that's doubly true of the Pharisees. There was probably a never group of people that looked for their Messiah and wanted to see their Messiah more than the Pharisees. And yet He came, He walked among them, and because of their prejudices, they never recognized Him. In fact, instead of recognizing Him, they refused Him, and eventually they hung Him on the tree. They crucified Him. And the thing that caused them to reject their Messiah was basically prejudice. And the question that comes to my mind is, how did that happen? And maybe even a more important question is, how can we avoid allowing prejudice from destroying our soul? And what I want to do as we begin our lesson this morning, I want to just start out by making this statement and showing this statement to be true, and that is the Pharisees should have been able to recognize Jesus as their Messiah. Evidence was everywhere. Prophecy was everywhere. For instance, they could have read of the birthplace of Jesus. In Micah chapter 5, verse 2, Micah says, "But you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from old, from everlasting." Not only that, they could have read about the forerunner of Jesus. In Isaiah chapter 40, beginning with verse 3, Isaiah writes, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places smooth." They could have read of His suffering, His death, His burial, and His resurrection by looking at Isaiah chapter 53. And not only that, there were specifics that were mentioned concerning the Messiah that they had access to. For instance, in Zechariah chapter 11, 30 pieces of silver is mentioned. In Psalm chapter 22, the fact that there would be the parting of His garments. In Psalm chapter 22, verse 18, the fact that they would cast lots for His vesture. In Psalm 16, there would be the piercing of His hands and of His feet. In Psalm 34, no bones would be broken. They had all of that. And they saw and knew of the miracles that He performed. They saw with their own eyes. They heard others tell. They knew that this man who claimed to be the Son of God, that He was one who performed these miracles. He made the eyes of the blind to see. And if you want these passages, I'll be happy to share them with you. I'm going through them rather quickly for time's sake. They saw Him make the deaf to hear, Matthew 12, 22. They saw Him cause the lame to walk, Matthew 15, 31. They saw Him heal a man with a withered hand in their own synagogue, Matthew 12, verse 9. They saw Him feed 5,000, or they knew about it, with 5 loaves and 2 small fish. They saw Jesus heal the man sick of the palsy, Matthew 9, verse 6. They knew that He had raised the dead. John chapter 11, verses 43 and 44, talks about Lazarus' death, the fact that he had been dead 4 days. Even his sisters realized that by this time his body would begin to stink. But Jesus said, "Lazarus, come forth." And he walked out of the grave. They were aware of all of that. And yet their prejudice prevented them from seeing that these miracles were evidence that He was the Son of God. That He was the Messiah. Now, having said all of that, fortunately, there were some exceptions to the rule. In John chapter 3, we read of a man by the name of Nicodemus who was a Pharisee. And notice what the Bible says beginning in verse 1 of John chapter 3. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to Him, "Rabbi, we know that You are a teacher come from God. For no one can do these signs that You do unless God is with him." Nicodemus had drawn the conclusion, and not just Nicodemus. He said, "We know," there were others who knew, "that You are a teacher come from God, and no man can do these miracles, these signs, unless God is with him." And all of the Pharisees should have come to the exact same conclusion. The evidence was there. There was testimony of other people. Others tried to tell them. But no, they would not listen. They could not see that Jesus was their Messiah. And the thing that prevented it was prejudice. What I'd like to do for the next few minutes is I'd like to talk about 4 things that contributed to their prejudice and caused them to fail to see Jesus as the Messiah. The first thing was preconceived ideas. And let me just say this up front. As we think about this, and we think about what contributed to the prejudice of the Pharisees, we need to be thinking about ourselves. We need to be applying this to ourselves. They couldn't see Jesus as the Messiah because of preconceived ideas. I don't know all the colors, but if I mention crimson, if you had on glasses that were crimson colored, or if I mention orange and blue and you had on glasses that were orange and blue tinted, or if I mention bright orange, and I don't know if that's Tennessee orange, but if you had on whatever the orange is, you ever heard two people, and I used to do this and I've just quit. I'd like to think I've quit because I'm a grown man now. It just doesn't matter. You ever watch a ball game between two teams, and maybe you're watching it with someone who's pulling for one team and the other person is pulling for the other team? And I'm going to use crimson and I'm going to use orange and blue. And the fellow who's pulling for the crimson, every call that goes for them, that is the exact right call. And any close call that goes against them, I can't believe that referee called it that way. And you shift over here, and it's the same way. Well, why? And it's not that people are not being honest. They're calling it and seeing it just like they see it. But they're looking through colored glasses. And they see things the way they see them because of those colored glasses. Now, in a ball game, that's really not important. But you see the illustration. Everything is affected by whatever colored glasses a person puts on. And oftentimes, people read the Bible with colored glasses, with prejudicial glasses. And so here is a person, and one puts on the glasses and believes that salvation is by faith only. And so everything that he or she reads from the Bible, they read in light of what they believe already is right. Or here is another person, and he reads almost every passage based on his thinking that once a person is saved, he's always saved. He can never, never fall from grace. And every passage that he reads, he sees that teaching because that's what his idea is before he began reading. And the Pharisees, they were that way. They had preconceived ideas. They were looking for Jesus through prejudicial glasses. And what they had in mind concerning the Messiah was this. He was going to be some great military leader. He was going to come as a king, and he would overthrow the Roman oppression, and he would restore Israel. That's what they thought. And when Jesus came, who was the Messiah, and he did not fit their preconceived idea, they rejected him. Jesus was born of humble parents. He was placed in a manger. He was raised in the despised town of Nazareth. He surrounded himself by common people. What he taught was love. He taught obedience to the Lord. He had no aspirations to be an earthly king. No aspirations to set out to establish an earthly kingdom. But he was to set up a spiritual kingdom. And what they did finally was they arrested him. They spat on him. They slapped him. They mocked him. They beat him. They placed a crown of thorns on his head. They nailed his hands and his feet to a tree between two thieves. And yet they were supposed to believe that that was their Messiah. And so because of preconceived ideas, they could not, they would not accept Jesus as their Messiah. Here's the second thing that contributed to their prejudice. And that was pride. Different people tried to tell them that here is the Messiah. But you know what their attitude was? Who are you? Who are you to try to teach us something? Now, I ask you, if you were in John chapter 7, I want to read a few verses from John chapter 7, and we're going to see this pride exhibited in their lives. Beginning in verse 31 of John chapter 7. And many of the people believed in Him and said, when the Christ come, will He do more signs than these which this man has done? The Pharisees heard the crowd murmuring these things concerning Him. And the Pharisees and the chief priests sent officers to take Him. So here are the people. Here are people, and they recognize. They believed on Him based on what He was doing, the miracles He performed. And you know what the Pharisees' response was? Go arrest that man. And they sent officers to arrest Him. And they came back empty-handed. Drop down to verse 45. Then the officers came to the chief priests and Pharisees who said to them, who said to them, why have you not brought Him? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. Then the Pharisees answered them, are you also deceived? Have any of the rulers of the Pharisees believed in Him? But this crowd that does not know the law is accursed. So here the officers go. They go to arrest Him. And they realize this is not just some ordinary man. Matter of fact, they come back with the understanding this man is from God. And they tell the rulers of the Pharisees and they just scoff. Have you been deceived too? The people, this crowd that's believing in Jesus, they don't know the law. They're accursed. Let's continue with verse 50. Nicodemus, he who came to Jesus by night, being one of them, that's who we read of there in John 3, said to them, does our law judge a man before it hears him and does and knows what he is doing? So here Nicodemus, he was a ruler. He was one of them. He just raises a rightful question. Really what he's saying is, we're not supposed to judge someone before we hear what he has to say. And we know what he's doing. And again, what he said was exactly right. What's the response? They answered and said to him, are you also from Galilee? Search and look, for no prophet has arisen out of Galilee. And everyone went to his own house. Pride. They would not listen to the officers. They would not listen to Nicodemus. One of their own. Maybe a better picture is in John chapter 9, if you'd like to turn over there in your Bible. In John chapter 9, we have the healing of a man who is blind. And I'd like to begin reading in verse 13 of John chapter 9. The Bible says this, they brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was a Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind. We just stop right there. Can you see the prejudice just all throughout that conversation? Here's a man born blind. He's healed. How did that happen? Who healed you? He just said, the blind man said, he put clay on my eyes and I see. I washed and I see. And you know what their response was? This man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Not from God. And by the way, he did keep the Sabbath too. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such miracles? And then they asked the parents of the blind man. And they confirmed the fact that, yes, he was blind, but now he sees. You know, it's one of those situations where it's kind of like you have 2 plus 2, and people who are honest can come up with 4. But with the Pharisees, here is 2 plus 2, and they can't somehow come up with 4. I don't know what they came up with. 3? 3.5, 2. They couldn't see it. No, they wouldn't see it. Drop down to verse 24. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner, speaking of Christ. He answered and said, whether he is a sinner or not, I do not know. One thing I know, that though I was blind, now I see. Then they said to him again, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I told you already, and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? Then they reviled him and said, you are his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from. The man answered and said to them, why, this is a marvelous thing that you do not know where he is from. Yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners. But if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. You know, I don't know if you were in a court of law how a better argument based on facts could be made. They answered and said to him, that is the Pharisees, you were completely born in sins and you are teaching us. And they cast him out. Pride. No better answer could have been given than what was given by this formerly blind man. And their response was, he was born in sin. Here was a wonderful opportunity for them to see and to know Jesus. But pride caused them to reject him. A third thing that played a part in their prejudice, and that is rationalization. You know, if a person doesn't want to accept the obvious, he can give some explanation to cover up his failures to accept the obvious. In Matthew chapter 12, beginning with verse 22, the Bible says, "Then one was brought to him, that is Jesus, who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and he healed him so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitude were amazed and said, 'Could this be the son of David?' Now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, 'This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons.'" Did you get that? They didn't deny that he was performing miracles. They didn't deny that he was casting out devils. What they did was, they said he's doing it by the power of Beelzebub. They had to give some reason. That was an absurd reasoning. If you look at verse 25, Jesus says to that, "But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand?'" A fourth thing that played a part in their prejudice was just dishonesty. They refused to look objectively at the facts. Galileo, he said that the earth was round when everybody thought it was flat. Because of that, there was trouble. He had trouble with religious leaders. They refused to look. The Pharisees were the same. In John chapter 11, as we see the scene of Lazarus being raised from the dead, verse 45 says, "Then many of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen the things Jesus did believed in him. Some of them went away to the Pharisees and told them the things Jesus did. Then the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered a council and said, 'What shall we do? For this man works signs.'" They weren't denying that he performed miracles. They could not deny that. Then it goes from bad to worse. "If we let him alone," verse 48 says, "like this, everyone will believe in him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation." Then from that day on, verse 53 says, "they plotted to put him to death." Just dishonesty. Prejudice brought on by preconceived ideas, pride, rationalization, and just dishonesty. And because of dishonesty, they put their Messiah to death. I want to close this way. In Matthew chapter 13, we have a contrast between those who are prejudiced and those who are open-minded. Beginning in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus says, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing, they do not see, and hearing, they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing, you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing, you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear.'" Let me just stop right there. Here are people who don't see. They don't understand. But the key is this. It's not that they can't see. It's not that they can't understand. They've closed their eyes. They've shut their ears. They're just simply not going to listen. On more than one occasion, I've been in a discussion with someone about what the Bible teaches, and I have said, here, just look. Let's read from here. Oh, I know what it says. Years ago, I was preaching someone's funeral service, and I simply was reading from the Bible. And there were some people sitting at the back. And as I was reading from the Bible, they were doing this. I was just reading what the Bible teaches a person needs to do to have their sins forgiven. Their eyes were closed. Their ears, they were not going to listen. Again, what I think of when I think about that is, what about Tim? What about us? Do we have preconceived ideas about what the Bible teaches? Or perhaps what we think it should teach? And as we read the Bible, that's the way we see it, because those are the glasses through which we are looking. Look at verse 16. Let me start there reading it again. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. We can see. What we have to do is we have to open our eyes, we have to open our ears, we have to open our hearts. And we have to take the Word of God and we have to approach it from the standpoint of, Lord, you teach me. You teach me what I need to know. And as I read and as I study the Word of God, my attitude is, let me obey. Please help me to obey. Whatever it is that your word teaches. The common people knew and they loved Jesus. They loved truth. The Pharisees and the rulers, they didn't know because of their prejudice. And you know, it's the same way today. Typically, it's the common person who understands, who will listen, and who can see what the Bible teaches. And we want to be that kind of person. We talked just briefly Wednesday night about the Ethiopian eunuch in Acts chapter 8 and what an open, wonderful, honest heart he had as the gospel was taught. And he was obedient to it. And what a contrast that is with the Pharisees. And I think of Jesus' statement in Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And if that's the kind of heart we have, there will be no problem in us being taught by the Word of God. And what all of us have to do, all of us have to struggle with it, and that is to rid ourselves of any prejudice that we have. And as we read and study God's Word, we do so with an open mind, accepting what it teaches. We're going to sing the song that has been announced. It may be that there is someone this morning who is not a child of God. Maybe you, because of prejudice in your life, you've just refused to obey the teachings of our Lord. Jesus, in Mark chapter 16 and verse 16, in teaching the 11 what they were to go and teach, He says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." When you come to Acts chapter 2 and you read throughout the book of Acts, but it begins in Acts chapter 2, the church has its beginning. Peter and the other apostles preached to that great crowd of people, and they wanted to know, after understanding they had killed the Messiah, they had crucified the Messiah, their question was, what shall we do? You know what Peter told those believing people to do? Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now, that's what the Bible teaches. Nowhere does the Bible teach that all you have to do is to believe. That is, have some mental agreement or assent that Jesus is the Son of God. Nowhere does the Bible teach that all you have to do is to repent of your sins and pray the sinner's prayer and you'll be saved. The Bible just doesn't teach that. Nowhere does the Bible teach that all you have to do is simply be baptized. It doesn't teach that. It teaches that baptism, those who are subject to baptism, are those who believe the Word of God. Those who are willing to turn from their sins in repentance. Those who will confess with their mouth that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then allow themselves to be buried, immersed in the waters of baptism for the remission of their sins. And the Lord adds those people to His church. Those people are forgiven. Those people are saved. That's what the Bible teaches. Have you done that? If not, and you have questions, I would be thrilled, and I know we have others here as well, I'd be thrilled to sit down with you and open the Bible. And let's just look at what the Bible has to say. What I have to say, that's not important. What God's Word has to say, these are the words of eternal life, and this is what we're going to be judged by. This is what we must obey. And those of us who are His children, it may be that we see there's prejudice in my approach to the Word of God. Repent of that. Turn from that. Ask God's forgiveness. Serve God faithfully. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be saved. But it's up to us. And we can be saved if we choose. Stand and sing for our encouragement.